Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, October 15th, 2024. I'm very happy to be with you today. Just excited to talk to you and share stuff with you. That's what I do. That's my job. I find stuff out and I share it. I share what makes me happy. And hopefully you benefit from that. It's amazing, but it is mid-October. October is half over here. Fall is in full swing, and leaves are actually on the ground, so you can, you know, walk through them and hear them as you're out on your walk, which for some reason gives me a big thrill. And there are more and more Halloween decorations up in the neighborhood. I drove by a house yesterday. It was so cute. It on their roof, they had. What was it? It was a dinosaur. It was a dinosaur eating a jack-o'-lantern with a jack-o'-lantern in its mouth. And these are the blow-up ones, the big balloons. And a dragon. And there was something else up there. I think it was a spider. But they had it all on the like on the roof of their carport. It was just really, really cute. Really cute. So next time I drive by there, I'll have to take a picture and send it to my grandkids because they love dinosaurs. The two little ones are big dinosaur fans. But anyway, it's just fun. I just love seeing Halloween out and people into Halloween. The giant skeleton that I talked about last year that was like taller than the roof of the house has been out since he was put out last year at Halloween. And so he was during Christmas, they put a Santa hat on him, and through the summer, he's had a big cowboy hat on. So, and there—that's the house where they have had for years a skeleton sitting on a lawn chair right outside their front door. So, I just, you know, I'd really like to meet those people, but I can't exactly walk up to their door and knock and say hello. I guess I could, but I wouldn't. So it's just, you know, it's just really fun. It's fun and childlike. You know, that's the thing about Halloween. It's just, you get to be anything you want to be for Halloween. And that takes you right back to just playfulness and childlikeness. And in my opinion, we need as much of that as we can possibly get. That's my feeling about it. pardon me. This will go away, I think, meaning my throat bug. On last week's show, I was telling everyone about Grace, my little dog, who somehow, some way hurt her tail. And I had taken her to the vet and they kind of shaved her tail. She's a Bichon. So she has this big fluffy tail, a long tail, and it's fluffy and it has all this pretty fur coming out, you know, and just it's neat. It's neat. And Bichons, when they walk, their tail is kind of curled up. Not really curled up, but it flops over their back. And that's how you can tell a happy Bichon, because their tail is over their back and they're, you know, just doing what they're doing. So Grace's tail was shaved probably about 2 inches from where it joins her body. And so it looks like she has a flag, you know, or a cheerleader's pom-pom at the end of her tail. It's just really funny. But you know, at least they shaved it uniformly. So it looks like that could have been done on purpose, not just because she hurt her tail. But she, you know, she did. It was a week, I'm telling you. I took her to the vet yesterday. She's great. Her tail's pretty much healed. She also had that bump on her paw that they removed, and that's fine. But boy, during last week, they gave her antibiotics and painkillers and, of course, put the e-collar, the satellite dish on her to keep her from, you know, messing with her tail or her paw. And it was just, it was quite the week with Grace. You know, she is, she's her own girl. And that is exactly what it means. You know, when Grace does something, it quickly becomes a rule. You know, she does this and like like I felt sorry for her, so I would bring her food to her, because when she had the collar on her neck, she wouldn't walk anywhere. She wouldn't walk. And when she did walk, she'd bump into walls and stuff. So I think she just gave up on it, and she would just sit there. And I mean, I couldn't get her, I would walk up to her and I'd go, "Come on." And she would stand up and take a couple steps because she thought I was going to pick her up. But I had to pick her up and carry her from one room to another when she had that collar on. And to get her to go outside, I had to take it off, or else I couldn't get her out the door to do her business. And the meds that they gave her really, well, they made her lethargic. I mean, she was just kind of a lump, just sat around and had me move her when I needed her to eat or whatever, or when I wanted her to eat. And she ate and drank, and that was fine, but they also really messed with her digestion. So this was like everything was an ordeal. And it was just a really crazy week. And I just felt like I had to keep an eye on her every moment. And her last day finally for her meds for her, they kind of tapered off because they were, prescribed for 5 days and 7 days and then 10 days. But her last day for the antibiotic was Saturday. And I put her collar on her. I went to yoga because it's like, I've got to go to yoga. We didn't go for a walk all week. So, I mean, I could have got, but I was hawking, I was concerned. So I didn't go for a walk without her. I just didn't. And so anyway, I debated about going to yoga. I go to yoga at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. And I debated and I thought, nope, I'm going. So here's the dog that I had to take from room to room with the collar on. And even when the collar was off, she would walk a little bit, but not very far, because she had been making up rules for herself. That's the only way I can describe it. So anyway, I put the collar on her. I put her up on the recliner where she's nice and comfy. And I said, "I'm going to yoga. I'll see you later." When I got back, she had her collar off and she was standing in the window at the front door like she would always do when I go anywhere and when I come back. And when I walked in, she did zooms through the house. She was just running in circles through the dining room. And then I gave her her breakfast, and all of a sudden she wasn't going anywhere. She just sat wherever she was. So I finally broke the habit of her waiting for me to bring her food to her and her water to her wherever she is yesterday, because I left it. I just left it. I took her to the vet. She hadn't eaten her breakfast before we went. I had to drop her off, and then I picked her up a few hours later. So it was still sitting there. And when she walked in, she was thirsty, so she drank water and then ate her food where she normally would eat it, in the kitchen on her little placemat. So I just went, that's it. That's the last thing we're not doing anymore, is me bringing your food to where you are, because you can get up and walk. Finally, Sunday, I just didn't even put her collar on at all, and she was absolutely fine. She's, healed. But yesterday morning, we went for our first walk in a week. And I mean, she was on it. She was jazzed. And it was really cool. It was about 42 degrees, I think. So it was a very chilly morning, but we just jammed on that walk. And it wasn't super long. It was about 20, 15, 20 minutes, something like that. But she did great. She was just her normal self. Took her to the visit to the vet. Everything was good. And I feel like I've got my girl back. Today we went for our full 30-minute walk, which was just terrific. And but it was just so interesting last week, just kind of like our dynamic. Of course, when your dog or your child or anything, or anyone I should say, is sick, you You just don't know. When they can't talk to you, you don't know. But, Grace is going to be 10 in January. So we've been together 9.5 years at this point. And I pretty much know her. And I know when she's, when I'm babying her, when she doesn't, when we're being codependent, when I'm enabling her. And then when I didn't, and it's like, it's like when I go into my office sometimes, I go, "Are you coming in?" I said, or I'll say, "I'm going to go meditate." And she usually comes and meditates with me in my reading room. And I said, "Are you coming in?" And now I just go, "Okay, I guess not." And I shut the door and here she comes, because she'll stand there and just look at me like she doesn't, understand English. But yeah. We have a great relationship, Grace and I, and that was my Grace update. So I just want to say thanks again for being here today. If you can, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I'm, as usual, excited about the teaching segment today, and you're certainly welcome to ask questions about it or comment on it in the chat room, and I'll answer them after the show. If you'd like to talk to me for a reading or a healing, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning, Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, put in a scheduled call request or put in a callback request. And I'm notified immediately, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. And I always do my best to meet your schedule. So, it's you can there's always a way to talk to me, and that's really the truth. Every day, there's a way to talk to me if you want to. If I can be of service, I would love to. It would be my honor. I do have my Autumn Abundance 15-minute time-based session available at 12listen. And this is not just because it's my favorite time of the year, but this is a powerful time of the year because autumn is the time of harvest. And I think it's really interesting now. It just hit me when I said those words, autumn is the time of harvest. Why? That's probably part of the reason why I've been just really compelled to talk about demonstrating and how to demonstrate your good and to really get deeper and deeper into that as I read my old beautiful wonderful books that I've had and go back and revisit, and they are so new and so fresh, and it's level by level. I think obviously we can only have what we can have when we can have it. And when a number of years have gone by studying and learning and growing, going back to some of these foundational books that and foundational teachers that meant so much to me, that were so important to me, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, it's like mining for gold and it's there. So it demonstrating, what we do, how we can get out of the way and get out of our own way. That's really kind of the bottom line to it, which is part of the teaching segment. So I don't want to go into that. But this 15-minute time-based session is about releasing energy that impedes our ability to receive. Autumn is the time of harvest. The earth has yielded her bounty, and it's time for man to receive it, to harvest it. And so we can use this energy, which is what autumn is about, to expand our ability to receive. Because nothing is withheld from us. Nothing that we can believe can be withheld from us, or we couldn't believe it. Period. I mean, it's really simple. Our beliefs are what limit us. So we use this session to clear the way for you to receive all that you possibly can, all that this autumn abundant time has to offer. So it's a good session. It's a good session. We all carry stuff. We are in this human incarnation. So we're in this human thought atmosphere that contains everybody's thoughts, everybody's beliefs, everybody's emotions from bad to good to, everything, everything of every person that's ever been here. And that's just the atmosphere. It's the human race consciousness. And so, we don't, when we realize that if it doesn't feel good, it's not us, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Or as Michael Beckwith said, anything that tells you you are less than is a lie. Always confront a lie. We have within us the kingdom of heaven. I mean, the infinite spiritual storehouse. That's truth. So anything that we could possibly need, desire, want, is there. And we are entitled to it because we are it. God is our consciousness. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But I do want to let you know that we have reduced rates on calls and chats on One to Listen a few times a week. So typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to onetolisten.com and sign up for One to Promotions. This Thursday is the full moon, and we'll be celebrating with reduced rates on calls and chats. I'll be online around 10:30 a.m. Pacific into the evening, and I would love to talk to you. And those are typically my usual hours anyway. And I just want to remind you of the gratitude board on onetolisten.com. To change, to accept good things into our lives, gratitude is a huge, huge player. To be grateful for what you have, for what you want to bring into your life, to be grateful for it now as if it is sitting in your lap in this very moment is powerful. It's powerful. And again, it's the time of the harvest. So post what you are grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not. And the advisors of One to Listen will add our intention to yours. And you can post anonymously. So why not do it? Thank you again for listening. However and whenever you do, there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at onetoradio.com. So anytime you need a little inspiration or just want to check us out, check out somebody you don't typically listen to, they're there. We're all there. So it's a great way for us to support you. And I just want to say thanks to Jay for producing the show today. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song by Akalia called Shears from Scar. This is from the Nine Worlds CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. You are listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I am very happy that you're here today. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I love Akalia, and as I said a couple of weeks ago, Akalia and Nine World CD is my October music. It just, for some reason, goes with fall. It goes with Halloween. It goes with everything. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. So, the topic today, along with what I already sort of gave away, is consciousness unfolding. Because that is my current experience. And it's really, I don't know, it's just fantastic. You know, it's like sometimes I feel like my head's going to explode. You know, I've really come to realize and experience that there are different levels of understanding. You know, things that hit me that I had a grasp on. That I knew at the time that I knew them. Let's put it that way. Because obviously, this is all a process of evolution. My evolution, I'm in a different place. And because I'm in a different place, the people, the teachers that I'm reading and listening to again on Audible, which I just love, are different. You know, I'm able to have them from where I am now. Rather than, you know, where I was when I first encountered them, which was a long time ago, 15 years ago, probably. But you know, John Randolph Price said there are three levels to knowing, to really experiencing, having something be a part of you. The first is awareness. You know, that's the thing that gets your attention. You become aware of something, and then you want to find out more. And when you find out more, that brings understanding. And then when you have it, when you really have an understanding of it, then it becomes knowingness. It's like you know it in your bones. And I think that's what faith is. You know that you know. You know that you know. And so I think, you know, what I'm experiencing, what I'm realizing are just different levels of that process, right? Going back, I mean, I'm on my third time through listening to Neville's the Audible 10 Neville's 10 books that he wrote. And it's just phenomenal. And I get something more every time I listen, and I have read and reread all of those books over the years. So it's like just this wonderful, fertile time, you know, of learning and expanding for me. And it's great, you know. Things that hit me, that really hit me as new just a little while ago, are just expanding like crazy and becoming more and more of my knowing and more so, and my solidity. Let me just use that word. Because you know, it's like when you get something and it really does become a part of you, it's just there's a solidity to it. I got it. You know, I feel it. I feel it in my bones. It's part of not just my thinking and my mind, but part of me, my consciousness, my and even physicality. You know, you just feel it's like got it. I got it. And then, of course, next time I hear it or read it, I probably will get more of it because God always meets me where I am. Like all of us, God always meets us where we are. And that's the beauty of it. That's just the beauty of it. So we're never, even though we'd love to be a million miles ahead of ourselves, we are where we are, and it is perfect. It is perfect. So it was interesting because I started writing this show last night, but wasn't sure of the complete direction, you know, that it was would ultimately take, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, as usual, I gave all responsibility for it to the God mind. I just let it go. It's like I'm gonna not struggle with it. I'm not gonna worry about it. I'm not gonna get nervous because I don't have more of it together tonight. I just gave it away. And this morning on our walk, it just came together. It just started coming together. Like little words came in and when we got home, the words consciousness unfolding came into my head because that's, it's like, what are the words for what I want to explain? And those are the perfect words. Well, those words are also the title of one of Joel Goldsmith's books. And so I grabbed the book, and of course, because God is God, and when you turn it over, you get your answers. I grabbed the book, which sits on my desk, in a book in bookends, and I opened it to a page that had a, actually, it was a postcard in there, and they were exactly the words that I was looking for. It was exactly. It was, I opened it to exactly where I needed it to be, or where I needed. Yeah. And so anyway, today, Neville, Joel Goldsmith, and Ernest Holmes are sharing the stage. Three different voices, one truth. And again, it's really and truly about being, getting to the place where you are what you desire to be in your consciousness, in your faith. And these three different voices are different voices, but again, sharing one truth. And we listen, we hear different teachers have different voices. Therefore, some are attractive to us, some are not as attractive to us. Some hit right on the money, even though they're all saying the same thing. So I always think it's for me really cool to, pick up a book like Consciousness Unfolding after I'd already, started with what I wanted to share with you from Neville, from Your Faith Is Your Fortune, and have it be the same thing. Again, that's just God and the puzzle pieces that always come together that end up being my teaching segment. And then finally, Ernest Holmes, just different, saying the same thing, different voice saying the same thing, and just lovely. And it excites me. So I have to share my excitement with you or my head will explode. So starting with Neville. Neville said, God is our awareness of being. God is our awareness of being. And that, when I read that, it didn't just resonate with me, but it just really hit me. Like it hit me like a ton of brick. And, God, source, life, consciousness, universe, whatever you want to call it, is that which lives us, our subconscious mind. It is our being, our being. We would not be without life or consciousness. We wouldn't. We wouldn't. This physical body is a vehicle. It is not us. And God, source, life, consciousness, whatever you want to call it, is that which lives us, is the witness, the father. I like father. That resonates with me more than anything. So that statement was like, of course, God is our awareness of being because God is our being. But I keep getting a deeper understanding of it. It resonated with me when I first heard it, but getting a deeper understanding of it, I realize now that God is not just our awareness that we are not strictly physical beings, that we are the individualization of source, we exist, yes, but God is our awareness of being what we desire to be, what we desire to do, what we desire to have. God, because God is everything we desire to be, to do, or to have, that is our awareness of being. So, and we could not possibly desire it if it were not a part of our consciousness and absolutely possible to manifest. So again, our work is on ourselves. and on our self concept. Because as Neville said, our faith in God is in, how did he put it? Is I'm just going to say my words, is in proportion to our concept of ourselves. And that is cooking. That just is cooking in my consciousness, is cooking in my mind, and I get it. I get it. I just can't put it into words at this moment. Exactly. So here's what Neville said about the awareness of being. I am, which is the name of God. I am, because God is. I am. I am. Just say that. I am. That's infinite. That's infinite, eternal, immortal. I am man's unconditioned awareness of being. Wait a minute. Let me start again. I am is man's unconditioned awareness of being and is revealed as Lord and creator of every conditioned state of being. If man would give up his belief in a God apart from himself, recognize his awareness of being to be God, this awareness fashions itself in the likeness and image of its conception of itself. He would transform his world from a barren waste to a fertile field of his own liking. The day man does this, he will know that he and his father are one, but his father is greater than he. He will know that his consciousness of being is one with that which he is conscious of being, but that his unconditioned consciousness of being is greater than his conditioned state of his or his conception of himself. Okay, that's a lot of words. And basically, what that means is like when Jesus said, I and the Father are one, but the Father is greater than I am. The Father is the conceiver. And the Christ, the Atman, the individual infinite self, is the created. So we are one with our Father, but the Father is greater because we are the conception of the Father. God, as you have discovered, back to Nibble, is that unconditioned awareness which gives to you all that you are aware of being, which gives to you right now what all that you are aware of being. To be aware of being or having anything is to be or have that which you are aware of being. Upon this changeless principle, all things rest. It is impossible for anything to be other than that which it is aware of being. To him that hath, it shall be given, good, bad, or indifferent. It does not matter. Man receives multiplied a hundredfold that which he is aware of being. And that awareness of being, I'm interjecting, is our self-concept, right? Self-concept is all that we accept and consent to as ourselves. In keeping with this changeless law, to him that hath not, it shall be taken from him and added to the one that hath. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You can only magnify that which you are conscious of being. All things gravitate to that consciousness with which they are in tune. So, again, that which we are aware of being in this present moment, what are the conditions of our lives? What are the circumstances of our lives? They are telling us what we are aware of being. That's it. I mean, it's just that simple. And that's the thing that I'm realizing. It's simple. It's just simple. It's black and white. And it's interesting. When I was walking this morning, the word deserve came into my head, just the word deserve. And that's because that's how we think. We think, well, I should have this because I deserve to have it. But deserving is always a product of there's a reason. I deserve this because I did this, I've been good, I've always taken care of everybody, I deserve it. Well, you know what? Where consciousness is concerned, deserve doesn't even exist. I mean, it doesn't. It's like worthiness. God has no concept of worthiness because there's no condemnation in God. God just is. It's that infinite storehouse, that which we are. You know, everything, everything. If we can believe it, we can have it and be it. You know, we don't have the things that we desire, or we don't manifest the things that we desire because we deserve them, but because we are them and we get it. You know, we get the knowledge of that. And really, what it all comes down to is it's a matter of what you can quote unquote have for yourself. So anything that tells you again that you don't deserve, anything that tells you you've been bad, you know, the past, what you're beating yourself up for, guilt, remorse, all of that, get rid of it. You can. You can. It is not you. You can get rid of it. Whatever, regret, remorse, guilt, shame, whatever. It's in the past. It's dead, gone, and over. It does not exist. And as Ram Dass says, if you spend your time feeling bad about what you've done in the past, you're just pushing God further and further away. And that rings very, very true for me. And so, you know, do you value yourself enough to have what you desire? Can you feel yourself being what you desire? Because really and truly, to manifest what you desire, that is all that's required. That's all re that's required. You know, no one can value us more than we value ourselves. It is all, everything is it's an inside job, as Reverend Ike would say. It's an inside job. So we work on expanding that because we're the only ones who put limits on ourselves. Us. Not anybody outside of us, not anything that we've done, not anything that we've believed. Us, because we can decide to stop believing, change our thoughts, change our ideas. And this is so exciting. It's so exciting. So now, this is what I grabbed from Consciousness Unfolding, Joel's book. And Joel talks about the Christ. Again, the Christ is the individualization of Source. The infinite self of man. So he wrote, harmony through Christ is the release from the belief of mortal selfhood. It is not the relief of disordered organs or functions of the body. Harmony through Christ is the ascent into the realization of our Christ identity. We have a Christ identity, and it is more real than our human identity. Of the human identity, Jesus said, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. John 10:18. And that's true of our human identity. Anything can happen today or tomorrow to this human identity, but our spiritual identity in Christ is permanent and eternal. Because this is so, that which appears to you as the human me and that which appears to me as the human you actually is an immortal and eternal being here on earth. We on this path will not die. No evidence to the contrary will ever convince us that we can die, or that we can age, or that we can fail. It cannot be. We've taken upon ourselves the identity of Christ, in which is freedom. Remember not to use the word Christ just because you've read it in the scripture or in metaphysical literature. Use it because Christ is a reality. It is the self of you. Christ is something so vital, so real, that we cannot demonstrate it unless we understand it. Life in Christ means freedom from bondage to the organs and functions of the body. Harmony in Christ means freedom from the belief of bondage to dollars and cents. Harmony in Christ means freedom from the inharmonious human relationships, whether they be family, business, national, or international. When we have put on Christ, mortality will have disappeared. When we have put on our Christ identity and have stopped relating ourselves to human birth, maturity, and ultimately death, we shall achieve immortality here and now. As long as we identify ourselves with physicality, we are limited to the body. But the very moment we can find our freedom in Christ, we have no such limitation. Now that we have come to the place where we see that we are living a life not in time and space, but as consciousness, then are not health and wealth a matter of consciousness? Are they not the unfoldment of our consciousness in the form of health and wealth? Must not consciousness always have a form? If consciousness did not have a form, it would be non-existent. The moment consciousness has existence, it has existence as something, and that something must be as forms of reality. The reality of being, whether of mind, body, or purse, is consciousness unfolding itself individually on the level of your receptivity here and now. Health is not a condition of the body, but a condition of consciousness. Wealth is not a condition of purse, but of consciousness. When you learn to close your eyes and think in terms of consciousness, quote unquote, I am consciousness, then the question comes, as consciousness, what am I conscious of expressing? That's huge. As consciousness, what am I conscious of expressing? All that will come to you is that you are conscious of consciousness itself in its infinite form and variety. Consciousness is God. Therefore, all that you can be conscious of is God appearing to you as a person, a place, or a thing. And that brings us back to the statement that God is all in all. That statement broken down as one, God is consciousness. Two, God is the consciousness which I am. Three, the consciousness which I am must reveal itself to me in the form of my ability to understand and utilize. Then we come back to consciousness unfolding, disclosing, revealing, manifesting, and expressing itself as our individual being and as all that concerns us. Wow, I just got to take a breath after that. That was fantastic. I don't know. I'm just thrilled with this stuff. Because again, it's simple. It's just simple. It's being here and now what we truly are. Being in this physical plane, what we are, the truth of our being, which is not physical. It's spiritual and eternal. Ernest Holmes. Now, here we go with Ernest. pardon me. Ernest Holmes wrote, and this is from Creative Mind and Success. We will always attract to us in our lives and conditions according to our thought. Things are but outer manifestations of inner mental concepts. Thought is not only power, it is also the form of all things. The conditions that we attract will correspond exactly to our mental pictures. All the power of the universe is with you. Feel it, know it, and then act as though it were true. This mental attitude alone will draw people and things to you. Blot out, one by one, all false beliefs, all ideas that man is limited, poor, or miserable. Use that wonderful power of choice that God has given you. Refuse to think of failure or to doubt your own power. Now that brings me it just something I want to interject there, and that's about Reverend Ike. He, you know, his whole thing was you will never be greater than your own self-concept. This was the whole crux of what he taught. And how powerful he was as, you know, a mystic and a teacher and a minister, and how many people changed their minds about what they could have. You know, his audience was black, and he came from a family. His mother It's interesting, and this is from his biography, and I know I'm not going to get this like exactly right, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. His mother came from, her mother or her grandmother was a slave, and so her mentality was that it's a sin to have good things. Again, I'm paraphrasing. His father, on the other hand, was a go-getter. You know, he had different businesses. He was always working. He was always, you know, he'd paint houses. He'd do construction. He'd do this. He'd do that. He did whatever. He built houses. I think he built houses and sold them. Again, don't hold me to this. The book is fantastic. But he was the complete opposite in self-concept to his mother. And she never could let go of that. You know, his father it would do well and be able to go buy a car, and she'd be like, "Well, you shouldn't have that flashy car. That's not right. That's not what God wants." She thought being spiritual was being poor. She really believed that, and she believed that. And so, what an amazing dichotomy between the two that Reverend Ike grew up in. And so that was his whole thing. To you change your concept of yourself to realize that you are the individualization of source, and there is nothing good that is denied to you or that could be withheld from you, because all that God is, you are. And the more you demonstrate that, again, I hear Joel, God is only glorified in my success. God is only glorified in my success. We have a responsibility to demonstrate that, you know, to be the transparency through which God is pouring forth dominion into this physical plane. I mean, to be that, to get out of the way, to just give it all away. I don't know how to do that, but you do. God, which lives me, you know how to do it. I don't know how to bring it into being. That's your job. All I have to do is know that I am it. That's all I have to do. But anyway, I wanted to share that little piece of from Reverend Ike, because I think about it a lot, you know. That it really is. That's why he was so big on self-concept. You know, you'll never be greater than your self-concept. That's what he said, and that's very, very true. So, then going further with Ernest Holmes. This is on from a chapter called "Using Your Imagination." He said, "Just imagine yourself surrounded by mind. So plastic, so receptive that it receives the slightest impression of your thought. Whatever you think, it takes up and executes for you. Every thought is received and acted upon. Not some, but all thoughts. Whatever the pattern we provide, that will be our demonstration. If we cannot get over thinking that we are poor, then we will still remain poor. As soon as we become sorry, rich in our thought, then we will be rich in our expression. These are not mere words, but the deepest truth that has ever come to the human race. In the center of your own soul, and I've shared this before, but it's so powerful, choose what you want to become, to accomplish. Keep it to yourself. Every day, in the silence of absolute conviction, know that it is now done. It is as much done as far as you're concerned as it will be when you experience it in the outer. Imagine yourself to be what you want to be. See only that which you desire. Refuse to think of the other. Stick to it. Never doubt. Say many times a day, I am that thing. Realize what this means. It means that the great universal power of mind is that, and it cannot fail. God can do for us only as we will allow him to do through us. Intelligence gives us ideas, and in our turn, we work on them. But our work is no longer done in any sense of doubt or fear, for we know that we are dealing with something that never makes a mistake. We proceed with a calm confidence born of the inner trust in a power that is infinite. Behind all of our movements, then, is a great purpose to let the law work through us. This is about action, taking action. We have to take action. He says everything comes